This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
And on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're recapping all the fun we had at Dragon Con and chatting about our first impressions of A New Dawn. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we get too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And I guess that brings us right into what's new on the blog. So what do we got?
Well, we've got a ton of coverage from Dragon Con. We recorded several of the panels and uploaded the audio, so you can find them on our website or in the iTunes feed as well. Check out the Toshi Station on location for lots of fun times from Dragon Con. It's almost as good as being there.
Almost, but not quite.
A New Dawn came out this Tuesday, and we've got two reviews. We have a spoiler-free go, no-go, which Brian and Bria both said it was a go, and you should read Go by the book. And Bria posted a full review with, there's a few spoilers in there. So
a few, but nothing major.
Yeah, so she really enjoyed the book and recommends you go buy it, of course. And finally, Bria also reviewed Legacy number 18, which was the final installment in the series, as well as the final installment for the Legends universe.
Sad, but it did go out on a good note, according to Bria. So if you haven't picked those up yet, the trade should be coming out fairly soon.
Yep. And that's what's new on a blog. Basically a lot of Dragon Con panels.
Sorry you couldn't be there.
Yeah.
And that brings us over to Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've done in the past week or so. And I'm getting the impression we're going to be motoring through this episode in a hurry. That's okay. We gave you all a lot of extra content last week.
If we don't talk about Dragon Con a lot, which you finished A New Dawn, and I am about 3/4 of the way full, or through New Dawn. So, why don't we just first impressions?
First impressions.
Well, you are full impression, but
yeah.
Spoiler-free first impressions.
You know, it was always going to be hard to kick off a new literature line the way Heir to the Empire did, because of the logistics of, hey, there are new films coming out that we don't know anything about yet.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I thought this was actually a really good restarting point for the adult lit line.
Yeah, we haven't really had anything in the dark times, and this is fully in the dark times. It's about 5 years earlier than Rebels, or a few years earlier than Rebels, so it's even further detached from the original trilogy. It's a lot of bridging the gap between the prequels and the original trilogy, not to mention setting up Rebels, at least two of the characters from Rebels. And just for me, I always liked John Jackson Miller's writing. I think he's very easy to read. And I didn't expect to like Kanan, but I do. I thought he was going to be kind of like a frat guy doesn't care about anyone type of person, and that would get like a Han Solo, but to the extreme, and where you get it gets old really quickly. But he's got a very interesting backstory, and you know, he obviously he changes his tune because of, you know, what we know of him in Rebels. So it's interesting to see that happening. And Hera is very mysterious, and I would like to know more about her.
Yeah, I wound up liking Kanan a whole lot more than I thought I would, because I was convinced he was just going to be the Han Solo XB for this book and this series, but there was clearly a whole lot more there to go with.
Mm-hmm. I posted on Twitter, I have a slight issue with the villain, and I say slight because it's not really affecting my overall enjoyment of the book, but I kind of almost feel like he's too cruel, too cartoonish, like, oh, look at what he did. He's terrible, killing people. And that, you know, it's not really a spoiler. He's a Star Wars bad guy. But it's you know, it's not enough that I'm like, oh, I don't like the book, but it's really hard to write Star Wars villains effectively, I think.
Yeah. Some of them kind of have to be
over the top. Yeah,
it's kind of the perils of a space opera you're writing in.
Yeah, you run the risk of like trying to compare too much and then not being threatening enough, you know. So it's a fine line, but I'm still enjoying it. And I like the one Imperial lady.
Rae Sloane?
Yeah. Imperial lady.
I hope she comes back.
Yeah.
I hope she comes back.
We are going to have a discussion after I finish the book with Bria, because there's a lot of interesting discussions that pop up as far as diversity in the new line of books, and not necessarily the thing that we always harp on is, you know, diversity is good, 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 because some people kind of don't want a diverse empire, and I don't know where I stand on it. This is just from a storytelling perspective, not as in, you know, diverse characters are good, but mainly because for so long in the EU, the empire was characterized as sexist and xenophobic. I believe it's still xenophobic, but the sexism part of it is kind of...
Yeah, and, you know, I can see where you're coming from there, but on the other hand, I think it's probably a whole lot more problematic today to write a misogynistic empire than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely... It was used as an excuse for why there were no women in the movies, an in-universe reason, rather than just saying, because it was 1977.
With some sort of retcon to explain it.
Yeah, and even in the prequel trilogy, there weren't really any females on the antagonistic side.
So, I mean, that's one good thing this new literature line could do is retcon in women.
Yeah, I mean, they had, like, Zam, Wessel, and Aurra Sing, but, like...
Let's retcon in women that do things.
Yeah, on the, like, empire part. And, you know, I hope that would be something to see in Rebels. Unfortunately, the two main antagonists right now are both men. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, so A New Dawn. We both like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a great deal. I think it's a good novel to start off the new literature line, especially with the restraints we've got right now and pretty much, well, not knowing where things are going. So,
yeah, like I said, we'll have a spoiler filled discussion probably later on in the month. And then
after you've all had a chance to finish the book,
and we'll try to get Bria on for that, because I know she wants to talk about the book. And then we will also have, I think we're going to have John Jackson Miller back on.
Nothing in stone yet, but
we're working on it.
We've been talking with Greg over at Random House, who has been great in getting us copies of books to read and setting up interviews for us. But Greg is working on getting us John Jackson Miller back onto the podcast. So,
so that'll probably be also next month sometime.
Yeah, so probably early October I'd like to done for that, just to give everyone time to finish the book so we can do a nice spoiler-filled discussion of it.
Yeah, we definitely, we want to have a discussion. We'd also like to talk spoilers in the interview because that's...
It's more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also started writing again.
Hooray!
So yay! Thanks, DragonCon.
Yay, DragonCon. Yay, writing workshops at DragonCon.
Yes. We also did something the week before we left for DragonCon. We participated in the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yes, we did. Links in the show notes and on the blog, and we challenged. We challenged some people we know, and we've got an outstanding challenge to the Delray Star Wars team, who said, "Give them time."
Yeah,
they're working on it.
We'll see.
Good sports, the Delray guys.
Yeah, and finally, we went to some tiny local convention in Atlanta. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've heard of it or not. It's called Dragon Con.
Oh. Hmm. We might want to talk about that later.
We might come back. Well, there is one other thing. Yesterday, we were at a very neat...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Very, very neat geek-themed eatery and watering hole.
Yes.
And the name is slipping me. The Cloak and Blaster. The Cloak and Blaster. Combination Irish pub and it's a geeky Irish pub essentially, and geek themed food and drink and board games. It was a lot of fun. So if you're in the Orlando area and looking for a geeky way to spend your time, check out the Cloak and Blaster near UCF. But yeah, that's what we've been up to in Fixer's Flash, and I guess that brings us to the shortest Deke's Dirt we've ever had. We've got Rebels clips.
Yeah.
That's it. Rebels clips. It's been a little quiet. Did we watch the clips?
They were the clips from
Star Wars Weekends. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've seen them.
We've seen them.
Yeah.
Was there really nothing else that happened?
Not that I can remember.
I feel obligated to go back and check Club Jade, who's been... more on top of things than I am. Clubjade.net. Let's see. Yeah, first image of Padme and Anakin. That art thing. rumor that episode 7, not likely to return to Skellig Michael. Out this week, a new dawn. Go get it. We liked it. Another Game of Thrones actor joining episode 7 is the rumor. Holy cow, there really wasn't anything other than rumors and Rebels clips. So quiet couple of weeks in news. I'm actually surprised something didn't break while we were at DragonCon and totally unable to cover it.
That would have been fun.
All three of us at DragonCon, plus the other bloggers who are out there having no means of blogging because you try getting a cell signal there.
And
I guess that brings us over to Big's Bullshite. And I think we're just going to talk about one of our DragonCon panels there. The Episode 7 panel. What exactly should we hit up from it?
It was a packed panel.
We were standing up there and we said to each other, they know we're not from Lucasfilm, right?
Right? It was kind of like, what do we talk about? So, I think it was actually, a pretty good panel. It was James Clark from Boba Fett FanClub.com, Brian Young, who served as moderator, Riley and Bethany Blanton from the Star Wars Report, Amy Radcliffe from she writes for Star Wars Insider and Star Wars Blog,
and a dozen other places.
Yeah. And also you and me. It was fun because we started out with basically Brian going down the line and asking us to say something that we knew about episode 7 that was confirmed. And it was like not a lot of things. is kind of like, you know, J.J. Abrams is directing, Kathleen Kennedy's producing, R2-D2's in it. We've got some of the main cast. They're filming in Pinewood Studios. That's pretty much it.
And 38 seconds later, now what?
Yeah. We talked about, what we think will happen as far as we discussed a bunch of the rumors, and kind of, you know, debunked many of them, as far as, you know, just that we know that are not going to happen. We talked about moving the release date, possibly, what we think about that, talk about, you know, basically the fact that they're going to take as long as they need to make the movie, but it's most likely going to be released in 2015 because that's the one thing Disney isn't letting up on. They want it to be released in 2015, at least. And we also advised the crowd to take heed of rumors, see where things are being reported. Nothing is confirmed until it's been confirmed by Lucasfilm,
and if it hasn't been hit by a cease and desist, it's probably not true.
Yeah. And also, like, if you see an article on, like, say, IO9, and they say, oh my god, this is the villain, blah blah blah, and then you look in the article and you see rumor or sources have, you know, told us blah blah blah, and really, so no, you don't know. You're saying that you know so you can get people to come to your blog and your website. Basically it was, you know, opening up for questions, and, you know, questions running the gamut of, do you think there'll be a movie about this person? What do you think the title's gonna be? Do you think these characters will be in episode 7? What do you think about Luke and Leia's and Leia, their kids, and all that kind of stuff? So it was I thought it was actually an interesting panel, even if there wasn't a lot of information given out.
It was speculation that wasn't
stupid. Yeah,
it was smart, informed, and reasoned speculation. Yeah. About episode 7,
it's a really good example of what Dragon Con is. Dragon Con is not San Diego Comic Con.
Yes,
you're
not
going to get scoops.
It's not press junket con.
No, you're not going to get scoops, but you will get informed fans making informed discussion and speculation. And I thought it turned out really well. We got
it was wild that we had to turn away about 200 people.
Yeah,
from that
there was a really long line, and the only reason we got in was because
we were
panelists.
Panelists.
We were panelists.
Yeah.
We've got audio on our blog, and there's also a recap panel over at the Star Wars Report website. So if you want to skim through and don't have time to listen to the audio, which you should anyway, but they've got a good recap of the panel. So,
and I guess that we'll just dive right into the discussion topic this week, Cammy's concerns. We're just going to talk more about Dragon Con, recap the Star Wars happenings mm-hmm. that were there, and just the con in general. But I guess we start with, what were our general impressions of Dragon Con 2014?
It's awesome. It's always awesome.
It's the best fan-run convention, fan-programmed convention in the country.
Yeah. It's they estimated about 62,000 people were there, which seems about right. most of the people were there on Saturday. It was very hard to maneuver around at times. We used a lot of our shortcuts, ducked and put out our elbows to get through the Marriott lobby. there was a few times I went back to the room and curled up in a fetal position because, oh my god, there's so many people out there. But it's just a lot of fun being in an environment where you're not weird and everyone like you is I heard a good description of it. Several of my friends went to the Carol Core meetup panel, and they said they described it as a lot of like-hearted fans. Not necessarily like-minded, but everyone was there for the same reasons. And that's kind of how I felt about, you know, the Star Wars track and just all the panels we went to. Everyone's there for the same reason, to have fun, to celebrate fandom, to not be ostracized.
I said I don't want a Boba Fett movie, and I was not murdered at Dragon Con.
Yeah, but then, you know, we're on a panel with, you know, James from Boba Fett Fan Club, and we're part of a discussion and not arguing about it. Which, I mean, we don't argue with people who like Boba Fett anyway, but, you know, it's the same, you know, we're all there because we like Star Wars. We might like different parts of Star Wars, but we, you know, we're all there to just have fun and have a good time. And it's really nice to be able to do that and not have to worry about people thinking you're weird, which sadly happens a lot.
And it's the atmosphere there and the people there are just so friendly and nice. It's one of the nicest behaved and just mannered conventions I think you'll ever go to.
Yeah, there's a lot of debauchery that happens at Dragon Con.
Which is why we say the unofficial policy is after 8 o'clock, it's 21 over.
Yes. There's bad eggs.
But there's bad eggs in any social setting.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, you know, you're waiting in line and you're pretty much, you know, chat with people and, you know, just seemed like, especially with the Star Wars room, that pretty much formed lines on our own. And
if there's anything we as Star Wars fans can do,
yeah,
it's get in line.
So, and you can't talk about Dragon Con without mentioning the cosplay.
People always highlight the cosplay as like PAX or San Diego Comic Con. For my money, Dragon Con produces the best costuming in any convention.
Yeah, I mean, you just walk around through the Marriott lobby to get to a panel or whatever, and it's like, holy crap, this is amazing. Like, you see one person in a Transformer outfit and you think, wow. And you see someone else in like a Jaeger costume from Pacific Rim. And you see, there was like, I saw at least two Maleficents with fully articulating wings. There was another character. She was in the Masquerade, from Gargoyles. And she had the fully articulating wings too. You look at people and you're like, wow, my little Jedi costume looks really awful compared to all these people.
But on the other hand, there's also the more, we'll say, the enthusiast level costuming. There's a ton there too.
Yeah.
So you never have to feel bad about the level of where you are with your costuming. There's people with costumes like yours. I mean, there's just a lot to see.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of, I saw a lot of this year, the closet cosplay, where people are just wearing outfits that are inspired by a character or, like, that they think a character would wear. And that's really cool because it gets you into the spirit, but you're not as uncomfortable as you would be if you're wearing a full costume for all the con. As well, there are people who really like doing that. I prefer to be more comfortable. But yeah, it's, if you love cosplay and like to either do cosplay or see cosplay, Dragon Con is definitely the place to go. And they have meetups and fan groups that take huge groups of photos, like the Marvel shoot.
Yeah, the yearly annual Marvel photo shoot,
which
there.
James Gunn just popped into randomly, and
I think Kelly Sue showed up at that too.
I think she did. And then James Gunn stayed for a while and they did the Groot dance and he was like talking to people and like, thanks for doing this. And then like, not is it just the big group shoot, but then like other groups kind of go out and like, Bria we saw was in a Young Avengers group and they took a video of Quicksilver like running and they did it so it looked like he was super fast and everyone else was in slow motion.
And there was the S.H.I.E.L.D. group photo shoot she did, which recreated famous art pieces.
Well, actually, they did that all throughout the convention.
Oh, right.
Her and her, Rhea and her group of friends, they started Friday night, and then, like, every night they recreated a piece of artwork, and they even did... recreated the elevator scene from Cap 2 of
I bet that happened a few times at Dragon
yeah.
Con.
So definitely there's a lot of blogs out there that have galleries of cosplay and go on Facebook or go on Tumblr and look for Dragon Con cosplay. You'll find a lot. And we even got sucked into a costume shoot, which we're not expecting. But it was a lot of fun. So shall we just go through?
Yeah, let's
day
do
by
some
day?
highlights of what we saw at Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. Go through the schedule, and try and give you all some incentive to buy your passes to go next year.
Yeah, because we're not going to be able to go, so you got to go for us, so we can live vicariously through
we
you.
We might go, but it's like a less than 5% chance next
year.
Yeah,
we're aiming for celebration, and you should too. That's another story. That's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
So Dragon Con, we live in Orlando, so we can drive.
It's a 6.5-ish hour commute.
Plus like seven, add an hour for stops. So it's not too bad. We got there around 2:30. Check-in was a breeze. I didn't even wait. We had to wait for a luggage cart, but once we got the luggage onto the cart, it was like 5 minutes later when the knock came to the door and it's, oh, hey, our luggage is here already. Yay. After we unpacked, we went to get our badges. And if you have gone to Dragon Con in years past when registration line was hours long, that's no longer status quo at
Dragon
Con.
Thanks to their wonderful new barcode system.
Like, I was there, I think, maybe, like, the end, like, right at the end of registration being terrible. And then when I went again in 2011, it was, like, I think I waited...
10, 15 minutes?
Well, I went earlier and waited, like, 45 minutes. Then I went again with you, because you got there later, and it was, like, just walking through the line. I think the year after that, we waited a little bit longer. But, like, this past 2 years, it was basically go inside the hotel and boom.
You spend more time walking to get to the front of the line than you do actually in line.
Yeah. So we walked around the hotels. If you do go to Dragon Con, I highly recommend taking the day before.
Get there Thursday.
To get oriented.
Yeah, and take an hour and a half, wander through the hotels.
Yeah.
Get a lay for the rooms you're going to be at, where your panels are, and how to get from A to B.
And where the food court is.
Yes.
And how to get to your from your hotel to the food court without having to go through the skywalks. Our friend Nut, she had never been to Dragon Con before, so we showed her around and tried to point her in the right direction for panels. And end of the night with usual activity of Cards Against Humanity, in which we learned that in M. Night Shyamalan's new film, Bruce Willis discovers that former President George W. Bush was really Nicolas Cage all along.
I do a Nicolas Cage impression, but I got nothing handy.
So Friday morning was a fun time. We started off with the Geek Girls Run Fun Run. Geek Girls Run being the group that was started by Janine Spenlov, Betsy Waddell, and Caitlin Schindler. They're a group of friends who are geeks, and they run. And they do a lot of the Disney races in costume. So last year, they had their first inaugural race, and this year they did it again, and Bria and Nut and I decided that we would do the race, which I don't know why, because I hate to run, more than anything in the world.
So while you were doing that, that was the first incident of me being conscripted as a photographer. So if you go to Dragon Con and you have access to an SLR system and more than one lens, you're going to become a photographer at some point for someone.
Mm-hmm. But Bria was actually part of the running group. Nut and I were in the third group, which was like running slash walking. She was in front of me for most of the time, and then I caught up with her while we were waiting for a stoplight, which was actually really good that there were a lot of stoplights because it gave me built-in rest time. And she was like, yeah, they just said we're about a mile done. And I just looked at her and I went, only a mile? There's still one more to go. No. There are hills in downtown Atlanta, so it's not fun to run. But we made it, and then I didn't feel bad about eating crap for the rest of the weekend. So yay!
Also in attendance at the Geek Girls Run, Kelly Sue DeConnick was there.
Yeah, she was unable to actually run or walk because she had a panel at 10, I think. But she came and saw in the morning, so saw everyone off. So that was really cool. And then Friday, I think Friday was the fullest day
of
panels.
Yes, it
was. We had pretty much panels all day
long. We went
easy
on the scheduling Saturday to accommodate for crazy hordes of people.
Yeah, we I did a workshop on characterization in Mike Stackpole runs a series of workshops that are extra cost, but they're $10 and it's really worth it. It, especially if you're writing genre fiction, which most people who go to Dragon Con, I'd imagine, are more interested in writing genre fiction than literary fiction, because you're actually learning things that are relevant to your writing, you know, whereas if you went to school, you know, or you took a writing class in school, you know, it might not be from the perspective that you are writing for. So if you get a chance to do them, I definitely, definitely recommend it. It's really helpful. And while I was there, you were at the Clone Wars and Rebels panel.
Yes, the Clone Wars and Rebels panel. Oh, who all was on that?
Riley and Bethany again. Bria.
Amy Ratcliffe was on it. And James...
James Clark was
on it. James Clark was on
it. I think Tom Hutchins also, who's head of the Mandalorian Mercs.
Yes.
And I listened to the panel on a Tashi Station radio on location.
Shameless plug.
So I was bummed to miss that panel, but I really wanted to go to the characterization workshop, and I knew that was they only have one workshop per session of like they don't repeat workshops, so I knew I had to go to that one. But it seemed like it was a good discussion.
It was a good discussion. They split it pretty evenly, talking about highlights from the Clone Wars and then going into Rebels, what they were hoping to see. But yeah, it was a really good discussion. Almost a packed room again. And I think we have to plug the kind of quality that Brandy and the Star Wars track team have infused into Dragon Con.
Yes.
They were busting at the seams the whole con.
Yeah, it's... You can definitely see, even just from last year to this year, that interest in Star Wars is definitely increasing. You know, I had a 2-year break in between going to Dragon Con, and then I went again in 2011, and the Star Wars track had moved since I'd gone, and it moved to a bigger room.
It's no longer big enough.
Yeah, it's every year it just seems like it's more and more crowded. And like the Episode 7 panel was in a different room, a larger ballroom, and it was filled. And next year they're going to have to do one of the huge ballrooms for it, because it's going to be a few months before Episode 7 comes out. It's going to be crazy. But you can definitely see the interest is picked up, and the Brandy and her team are really good at giving so many different types of panels, like pretty much every aspect of Star Wars you can imagine. Like, when you, if you've gone to Celebration, you know they have different tracks as well. So they have things for like collecting, and they have panels that are about the expanded universe. They have panels that are like more, they have like a fan track that are like for the fan panels, and they have like so they have all these different types of tracks going on at just Celebration. The Star Wars track has to combine all of that into just one
single track.
Yeah. So they have to have pretty much a panel for every different type of thing that people like in Star Wars, which is crazy. You could have had like four different panels just about Clone Wars and Rebels, you know. One of the things I got from the panel was that it seemed like everyone was happy with Clone Wars, but was hoping that Rebels would learn from the mistakes of Clone Wars. Whether, you know, one of the things I didn't like about Clone Wars was that it wasn't a chronological story, you know. Also that
it was like reading a Tales of book.
Yeah, which is cool, but it seemed
little disjointed, yeah, for a television show.
Yeah, and also that they didn't really have a core focus of characters. You know, it might be 10 episodes and you haven't seen Ahsoka.
Yeah, we nominally know who the important characters of the show are, yeah, but you can go half a season without seeing any of them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's nice to say, like, oh, so-and-so is showing up in this episode. That's cool. But I like the fact that the Rebels, it's, you know, that core group that we're going to see all the time. And then the rest of the people are just bonuses. So, we were on a panel that day, too.
Was that... Yes, it was. All the single ladies.
All the single ladies.
that was you, me, Janine Spendlove, Amy Ratcliffe, Catherine Hines, and Bria. We're on this panel. It was sort of a continuation of the one we did last year, but with a specific focus on sexism and the role of women in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think we all got our rant on.
Yeah, just a little bit.
it was another great discussion. I got stopped several times in Dragon Con just by people praising that panel.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of us were ever stopped by anyone for any of the other panels we were on, but that one specifically, we'd have a couple people every day spot us and talk to us about that, about this particular panel.
Yeah, we did. And I thought it was a pretty good discussion. A lot of preaching to the choir, but I still think it's important to have discussions like that at Dragon Con. And, you know, there were some people there that I think we kind of had them think about a different perspective than they were used to, and kind of made them go, oh, I hadn't ever thought about that before. And, you know, that's a thing that we, you know, need to emphasize more when we discuss diversity, is that, you know, we're not saying that people who haven't thought about diversity and stuff are bad people. It's trying to just raise awareness and be like, hey, you know, you are white, so you might not have ever thought about like racial diversity in fiction, which is okay, because you,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
here's why you should.
Yeah. And you know what is a problem is when people get defensive and they're like, oh, well, why do I have to think about this, you know? Like, there's a lot of guys I know that never really thought about having women and more women in science fiction until women bring it up and they're like, oh, I guess that makes sense, you know? So, you know, I think it's important to have those discussions at Dragon Con and other types of conventions, because even if you raise one person's awareness, I think that's important, you know? That's my PSA for the show.
All right. What else did we do Friday?
We went to Carl Cunningham, who is he wrote a book with along with a few of his friends about visiting the Star Wars filming locations. And he did a panel about where to go to find these locations in the U.S. They're mostly around Death Valley for like the Tatooine stuff. And he's also visiting a lot of the Episode 7 set, or he's visiting all of the Episode 7 sets.
He actually had to bow out of a panel we were going to be on together because he had signed an NDA.
Yeah, he was like, I don't think I want to do the Episode 7 panel just to be safe. But yeah, he's been to all of the filming locations, and Lucasfilm is giving them the access so they can write a book about the sequel trilogy without having to go back and do research after the fact. And he's also a consultant with Disney for their parks.
He is consulting with the Imagineering department over at Disney.
I wonder what for.
For park related stuff. You fill in the blanks, listeners.
Right?
Carl had a really neat presentation. It doesn't quite come out as well on audio because he had a lot of photos he was showing off as well. But if you ever get a chance to see him at a convention, do go to his panel. It was really cool.
And go buy his book.
Yes, go buy his book.
Mm-hmm. What else did we do? Oh, we went to a live recording of the FSL Tonight podcast.
Yes, Tom Merritt and Justin Robert Young's FSL Tonight, a fake sports league.
Yeah.
What would you call it? A multi-fandom sports league AU?
Yeah, pretty much.
You had to be there, yeah.
But it was relevant to our interests because the Scarrow Exterminators and the Coruscant Senators were playing in the final. Unfortunately, Scarrow came out triumphant and beat the Senators, so boo. We went back and saw another Star Wars panel that Bria was on for introduction to costuming. I think that was the only panel we were kind of disappointed with, only because it wasn't really much of an introduction to cosplay.
Yeah, it quickly devolved into what 3D printer should you buy?
Which, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of talk about armor making when you're talking about Star Wars costuming, because a lot of the costumes involve armor. But, I suggested that maybe next year they just have one panel devoted to costuming. Because they had another advanced costuming panel the next day with most of the same people.
Or have the two panels, but keep the 501st folks on the advanced costuming one.
A lot of the questions that we saw, like we didn't see all of the panel, but the Meet the Fan Groups panel, that was the opening on Friday morning. I thought a lot of those questions, because there was 501st and Rebel, well, they were all pretty much the costuming groups. Like, how do you get involved? How can you find a group in your area? Like, those types of questions were, I think, more suited for the intro to cosplay panel.
Where do you find resources?
Yeah. Because, if you want to make Stormtrooper armor, you got to start somewhere. So either you need to learn yourself or go find people to help you. And any costume you make for the first time is probably not going to be very good. The last thing for the day was we went to the Suit Sinatra and Star Wars party, which was awesome.
At after hours at Dragon Con, mm-hmm. there are parties and mixers.
And a lot of mixers.
Yes. Friday night, Brandy and the Star Wars at Dragon Con team had a Suits, Sinatra, and Star Wars. So dress up dapper, listen to a bunch of jazz, dance, and talk about Star Wars. This speaks to me on a spiritual level, and I hope they continue it for many years to come.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun, which brings us over to Saturday.
Yes. Saturday, we didn't have as much stuff on Saturday. I think Sunday was actually our lightest.
We didn't leave the room until after the parade.
Yeah, but the great thing about DragonCon TV is that, DragonCon, is if you stay at one of the host hotels, they play DragonCon TV in the hotel rooms. And they play skits and funny, like, bumpers and stuff, but also they re-air some of the panels. And they also air live the Dragon Con parade. So if you don't feel like fighting with tens of thousands of people to get and get up early to get a good spot for the parade, you can just turn on your TV and watch the parade from the comfort of your own room. And it was great.
But that kept us busy until what, 10, 10:30?
Yeah. No, it started at 10.
Oh, that's right.
So like 11:30, we went out and I went there. The young adult literature track is right next to the Star Wars track, and they had a panel about writing YA science fiction. And I wanted to go to that because even though I don't write YA specifically, I knew a lot of the information would be, you know, would translate to adult fiction. So it was, you know, how to write science, smart, who to get, how to contact people for help, researching, and how to hand wave things. All that type of stuff. I believe after that, what did we do after that? I believe we went to another writing workshop after that. It was Them's Fight and Words.
Yes,
and it was
with Janine Spenlove, Timothy Zahn, and
I can't remember
Blake
the other
person.
Yeah, she actually wasn't a panelist. They kind of dragged her into it at the last second, but she had written a lot of sword fighting books and does sword fighting as a hobby, so she was it wasn't like what I write, because I write more sci-fi, but it was still pretty interesting, and I'm sure I'll use it if I ever do write sword fighting or lightsabers. And they talked a lot about, you know, close combat, how to write fight scenes. And then what I thought was really interesting was Janine discussed the large scale, like, fleet battle tactics and that sort of thing. Because that's definitely, if you're writing science fiction or Star Wars, you need to know all that stuff. So, again, $10, really, really worth it. We went to the art show in the Artist Alley.
Yes, went to the Artist Alley, which was the less crowded of the places to buy things at Dragon
Con. Yeah. The art show is more like crafts, and like, it's where like there's art displayed and you like, I don't know if you bid on it.
There's some silent auction stuff going on.
But the comics section is where they have like artists, and they have their stuff there for you to buy, and they also do like sketches, and you can get stuff signed there. So we picked up three Star Wars prints that were really kind of neat and like retro looking. So it was $30, very well spent. And then was the Episode 7 panel.
Yes, the Episode 7 panel we had discussed.
Yeah. The Tropes in Star Wars panel, which had Tim Zahn and Christy Golden, and
Christy Golden thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah, I saw her at Celebration 5, but I don't remember her very well from that, from the Fate of the Jedi stuff there. But definitely really interesting, if you can hear her at a con. She didn't have anything she could say about the Ventress and the Voss book, except that they're working on it.
It's still very in the initial stages.
Yeah. And then one of my favorite panelists, just because of the panelists, was the All Kinds of Superheroes panel, which was put on by the Kaleidoscope track, which is like for geared toward kids and young adults. And they had two panelists who were young kids, and the boy, Sam was his name, came out with these statements that were like,
how
drop
do
the
you
mic.
Get it.
Drop
how
the
do
mic.
You get it? But these marketing execs don't.
Yeah. He said, I don't think that race or gender really apply when you're saving the day. And we were just all looked at him like with our mouths agape, like,
Kelly
how
Sue,
are you real?
Kelly Sue DeConnick was at this panel, leans over the mic and says, go home, con's over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. And we had a get together later that night. We got together with some friends and we talked about Aaron Alston. It was a good time. We shared a really great story.
Had a little private toast to Aaron Alston.
Yep. Thanks for bringing us all together. Sunday, we really didn't do many panels at all.
No,
but
because we started the day with a photo shoot that turned into an even bigger photo shoot.
Yeah, so it was four people, you know, big deal. It was me, Bria, Nut, and then our friend Nick. And we were dressed as capable ladies of the expanded universe. Well, Nick was Princess Leia, but it was Princess Leia from the EU. So,
Princess Leia and the Capable Ladies.
Yes.
That's going to be the name of my, it's going to be the name of my Blondie cover band.
Supremes cover
there
band.
There we go.
But so we, you know, took pictures with our costumes and it was really fun. I was Mirax, Bria was Winter, Nick was Leia, and Nut was Iella. And then while we were taking those pictures, the 501st came by and they're doing their big group pictures. And then they're like, we're like, oh, hey, we'll move from the stairway so you can use it. And they're like, oh, you should get the pictures. It's all Star Wars. And we're like, okay. So we did. And it was a lot of fun. And then we decided to steal people to stage photos such as us shopping with Mara.
Yes, we recreated the Union panel.
Winter and Leia with the Imperial guy from the Agent of the Empire comic. We stole some A-Wing pilots and X-Wing pilots to have family photos. We got a Luke Skywalker to take some pictures with our Leia. It was a good time. And very it was very tiring, but good. Then we went to the other Expanded Universe authors panel.
Yes.
Which was all of the authors.
The annual yearly grab all of the Star Wars authors, throw them on a panel and say go.
It was Mike Stackpole, Dave Wolverton, Christy Golden, Kevin J. Anderson, Rebecca Muesta, and Tim Zahn. And it was, as usual, a lot of fun.
I just want a panel in the next few years of just Tim, Kevin J. Anderson, and Mike. Just sit them down and we could do word association with them.
Oh,
that would
God.
Be fun.
Yeah. But one of our friends, Brian from the EU Cantina, got up to ask a question of Christy Golden about Sword of the Jedi, which we kind of teased him about because, well, he said, I'm asking a question about Sword of the Jedi, so I need to know what they asked about at the prior panel so I don't repeat a question. So it was actually interesting because he asked, like, what they had planned, and Christy revealed that they hadn't really planned anything.
It got tabled before, Sword of the Jedi got tabled before they did any serious planning on it.
Yeah. That was kind of a bummer to find out. We also went to the Star Wars panel for Aaron Alston and AC Crispin, and it was sad, but I'm glad we went. They had a lot of good stories about them, and I knew about Anne Crispin's work with the Writer Beware website. But I didn't realize that she also did writing workshops at Dragon Con. And there was someone who, you know, spoke about it and said that, you know, she'd become published thanks to it. And a lot of friends that she had become published because of it. So, obviously we had met a lot of friends because of Aaron's books. And it was, you know, it was something that was sad but necessary.
Yeah, and we also learned that day that, and we'll get more details on this soon, but Mike Stackpole and a few others are in the process of establishing the Aaron Alston Foundation.
Yeah.
Which will be raising funds to help aspiring authors ends meet while they're getting themselves into the field.
Also for established authors.
Yes,
who,
also for established authors who...
If they have any health issues and they need help paying for medicine. So yeah, the Aaron Alston Foundation, they don't have a website or anything yet because they're still trying to set up their...
They're working on getting nonprofit status right now.
So and what did we do after that? I think we just kind of hung out and we had dinner and we wore our Lego costumes and then went people watching, but
it was like a billion degrees in the Marriott, so we called it off early.
We kind of got to the point of Sunday night where we're just like done. You're like, we're tired. We don't want to do anything.
Which brings us to Monday, the most depressing day of DragonCon.
It's sad because the Monday programming at the Star Wars track
is the best programming they have.
Yeah, because it's just very chill. Just people in the Star Wars track room talking about Star Wars, and like it gets really like cerebral and really interesting discussions. And like there were two little boys that were asking these questions that were like crazy insightful. We caught the second half of the family saga in Star Wars, which the panelist was Carol White, who is a PhD, and she does really interesting panels at Dragon Con. Seen her several times there. And then we had, there was a panel about Luke Skywalker, which I was a panelist for. And that was one of my favorite panels for the, you know, for the con, and not just because I got to talk about Luke Skywalker for an hour, which, you know,
we do that every week on
the
podcast.
I'm not gonna say no to, but you know, I thought it was, you know, good discussion, and you know, people from the audience got involved, and yeah, so then we went home. Womp womp.
But once again though, we really have to sing the praises of Brandy and the whole track.
Yeah.
Now, they have to be invited back every year.
Yeah.
So if you were at Dragon Con, and if you enjoyed the program there as much as we did, please go rate the panels on the Dragon Con apps on your phone.
Yeah.
Brandy and her crew put together consistently the best programming for Star Wars at any convention out there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, it's, you know... It's hard to top Celebration just because Celebration is Celebration. It's Lucasfilm. It's all the
Celebration
actors.
Has the firepower and the resources.
Yeah.
No one year in, year out puts as high quality stuff as Brandy does.
Yeah. And so, you know, Celebration's only every other year for a reason. Because they, you know, they don't want it to be every year. They want it to be special. But Dragon Con is every year. It's super special. And, you know, They've got so many panels to do, and like the people who just sit in the track room all the time, and they do the raffle, and they, you know, set up for the parties. You know, we had our friend Paula was at the last party in Alderaan till like the middle of the night, you know, running the door. And you know, Brandy's at pretty much everything from morning to night. They decorate the room really awesome, and you know, she's also got to, you know, put all the panels together and get panelists and try to figure out, you know, who will be good on what panel. So, you know, if you were at Dragon Con, rate the panels that you were on. And also if you have suggestions, because the great thing about the Star Wars at Dragon Con track is that they're not above listening to feedback and suggestions for
improvement. Several of the panels that were there this year and last year are panels that Nancy and I suggested.
Yeah.
And pitched for Dragon Con. So yeah. They listen to feedback. They want your panel ideas.
And even if you're not going to Dragon Con and you say, hey, I think a cool panel would be this, you know, they might say no, they might say yes, so...
You never know, but yeah, it's great programming year in, year out. If you're looking for great Star Wars content that's happening every year, then you need to go to Dragon Con. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to wrap up our show today.
I feel just as exhausted as when I actually went to Dragon Con.
This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog. Help us keep the lights on. You can find us on Twitter with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants, Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree on Facebook. We're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We'll catch you again in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.